Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. We got Bud Dickman here, Robert Leonard. Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Fine, man. Good to have you back here.
Yeah. What were you looking for?
I'm looking at that Randy Moss story.
The Randy Moss? Yeah, we're looking. There's a lot of football stories. Margaret, how are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. And you're going to announce about the iApple? I don't know.
No, it's called iPod.
No, it's streaming for iPhone and iPad.
Yeah, that's it.
Streaming for iPhone and iPad, Android, and a whole bunch of other devices. Tonight, we have initiated in full contact, baby. The Eagle has landed, and we are live on your mobile. We're live on your toaster, Jack. Man, you can pick us up on Mars, man. And
what film is that from, that ridiculous?
What?
The little, you can pick us up on Mars.
That's a pawnbroker.
Thank you, bud. It's from the pawnbroker.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Well, I would know a piece of classic dialogue from one of the greatest films ever made, The Pawnbroker, and I don't know that.
Well, you missed it then, because that's from The Pawnbroker. That's when some guy comes in and wants to hawk his radio. He's a junkie. And the pawnbroker goes, $1.
Yeah, that's all he ever says, $1.
Don't be anti-Semitic, Phil.
Oh, it's in the movie, man. Don't give me this anti-Semitic. That's in the movie. In the movie. Rod Steiger. It's kind of like, let me see, it's a little bit of Schindler's List, and then there's a little bit of Sophie's Choice in it, and it's saying, and then there's a whole bunch of, I don't know, that one movie with Jeff Bridges and Tim Robbins, where there was the white supremacist and...
You know, that Tom Berenger one?
Tom Berenger, yeah, and he just throw it all together, and it was in black and white. So, welcome to the program here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Some really jacked up news and some interesting news and a lot of sports news. Ray Lewis is apparently now under scrutiny for the use or possibly and maybe not the use of some sort of performance enhancing and not even performance enhancing drug. It is one that is called deer antlers. It's something that helps the healing of injury. Randy Moss is open his big mouth about something challenging Jerry Rice. I don't know. We'll look into that. But really, the biggest news for me tonight is the fact that we got our mobile delivery system online. That's what I call it. So if you have an iPad, if you have iPhone, if you have Droid, iPad is not what I call mobile. But the point is,
but why is an iPad mobile? Because it is mobile.
Well, it's not the phone. See,
got to be on a phone for it to be mobile.
Why?
Because
why?
Because that's what it is, Margaret. Mobile like mobile phone.
Whatever.
All right. Well, the point is, we are now fully functional on your mobile device, so please check us out at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. We just had, a lot of stops and starts.
But what was the problem? People want to know.
Well, the problem was, and I apologize again, folks, for Friday night was just an ISDN line problem that we had, and that was unavoidable. Last night, we had more technical problems. But the problem in terms of this application, it's an ever-changing world technologically. There's all kinds of stuff happening out there. And one of the things that's happening is your phone, this mobile phone that you use, many of you, I would think most of you, whether it is an Android or Droid or an iPhone or whatever else it is rapidly becoming... Just a transistor radio, a computer, you name it, man, a music player, everything. And so people are using their phones for not just the phone, not just to communicate, but also I use it a lot for internet access. And as the result, if you're in the media business, unless you're delivering media to this platform, which is the phone, okay, unless you are doing that, in my opinion, and this is just my humble opinion, you got one foot, you're stuck in 1998. I mean, you got to get your ass into gear, get moving, get going. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, but you're driving everyone crazy, Phil.
What do you mean I'm driving everyone crazy?
Yesterday,
Come on, man, come on. You almost started to cry.
Yeah.
I didn't start to cry.
You're driving everyone ape. You're on the phone with these people, and you're saying, I've got to do this, I got to do that. And I heard what you said to that one man, that one poor man.
Paul is a great guy. Paul, you know, I can only say Paul Guest is one of the most fantastic guys in the whole world of digital that I've ever met.
I don't think that's going to smooth it over, because you were on the phone saying, Paul, if you don't get this done, I'm going to be out of a job. I'm going to...
Yeah, you're all like balling and stuff.
I wasn't balling. I'm going to belt... You want to see somebody ball when I belt you?
Oh, threatening... So you're threatening a man with a plate in his head with violence.
That's right. Man.
Threaten a retard. Boy, oh boy.
Bud, don't use that word.
Why? Bud has a plate in his head. Why would you threaten a man like that? What are you looking at?
Bud has a plate in his head. What are you singing about, man?
By the way, where do you get off calling me man?
Darling, it is a figure of speech, Miss Gray. You'll have to get off.
Excuse me, was I talking to you? I don't think I was.
Sorry.
Where do you get off calling me man?
It's a figure of speech, like he said. It's just a...
What are you, a beatnik or something?
You don't have to be a beatnik.
All right, can we stop now? Can we stop at all this petty bullcrap? Okay.
Why? Well, I'm just trying to put off you talking about soccer.
I'm not going to talk about soccer.
What were you watching today?
I was watching the foot. Yeah, I watched some. I wasn't going to talk about it. You want me to bring it up? I'll bring it up.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. You brought it up. Sure, I was watching some soccer. So what? I think it's about time. I'm not saying I don't recommend it for anybody but me. You see what I'm saying? See, I'm not here to promote or to be a goodwill ambassador or to, be an ambassador for the sport. I'm just saying to you, and I wasn't even going to bring it up, but since you did, I'm just saying to you, I like it. For me, see? Just for me.
You don't want to get other people watching.
I don't care, man. They got enough cats watching soccer. Are you kidding? There are more people watching soccer than anything else in this world. The United States, if we do, if we don't, it doesn't make any difference to me. I understand why some people don't. I understand why some people do. I kind of got into it sideways because I saw this special on the soccer, Fox Soccer.
No, I don't. They have a soccer channel?
Yeah. They got like a channel where you can see the everything. Yeah.
But what does that mean, everything? He did it again, Phil.
Look, he's not looking. Bud, were you staring at her up and down when you said everything?
No.
Yes, he was.
It's the lazy eye, do you remember? You said he's staring you up and down and looking suggestive when certain words are said. When he said everything, he means all of the soccer games. He doesn't mean you nude.
Well, thank you for spelling that out. God almighty.
Where are you going, Miss Gray?
I'm going to have a cigarette.
I'm going to go have a cigarette. That's great.
He's going to go have a cigarette. That's great.
You know, just because you... I'm not blaming you, Bud. Just because Bud's got this wandering eye, and he said if you watch Fox Soccer, they show you everything. And it just so happened that at the moment that he said everything, his eye wandered up and down.
Yeah, just wandered up and down like he's trying to check it out.
I'm not going
to
check nothing out on her.
Well, don't say that too loud, because then she'll get upset.
I don't care. Now I don't care. I did, but once you said that, now I don't care.
Great. And I think it's a little crude. But anyway, point being, Fox Soccer, I saw this show called Liverpool, Being Liverpool, that was it. And I'm watching this, I'm going, that's kind of interesting, you know? I'll tell you the thing that I like about it. And I may be late to the game, I don't care. I like how the fans of soccer in England, I don't know about the rest of the world, but I watch this Premier League, this English league, and I like how the fans have a really pivotal and important part in the sport. Fans in America are told that they're important, but you know what? We're not really, not in the minds of these owners. We are told we're important, and we always say the same thing. We always say, you know, if we didn't pay our money, but let's face it, folks, can I be honest? Because I'm going to be, you know, I'm in the same boat as you. We're not, what are we going to do? We couldn't mount an economic movement among sports fans to lower the price of popcorn by 5 cents, let alone get, you know, actually motivate teams to do things that we feel are important. We don't really have any pull. It's not because we don't have the economic power. We do, but we cannot, we do not, we don't know how to wield it. We are reluctant to wield it. We're not unified at all. Sports fans, if you want to get right down to it, are not unified in the least. We're not unified when it comes to the price that are paid, the salaries. We're not unified when it comes to our feelings on ticket prices. We're not unified when it comes to our feelings on building stadiums for with public money. We're not unified when it comes to our feelings on anything. I mean, we're as disparate as we are with those kinds of things as we are with our you know, who we love, you know, in terms of what teams we're loyal to.
Well, you finally spit that out.
Oh, you back? You had your cigarette, huh?
Yes. I power smoked it.
What is that?
Oh, you're not telling me that you actually power smoked.
What's that?
Don't.
Power smoking is when you're like just taking one drag after the next. You really did that, huh?
No, I...
Why are your fingers yellow?
Get up.
Where did you have them?
Well, I didn't have them.
Go wash your finger. Margaret was just like... Her fingers are yellow.
No, they're not. They're yellow from something else, but I don't think you want me to mention.
Oh, man. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Some really bizarre news. We mentioned that Ray Lewis is being looked at, or he's being... I maybe shouldn't say looked at because Bud will get ideas. Anyway, Ray Lewis is in the news. Ashley Judd, she's going to have a divorce. I don't know if that's interesting. It's interesting to me. Alec Baldwin and his wife, gee, she might be pregnant. And is this really all that's happening, man?
Yeah, what about this one right here?
There's a woman and her boyfriend arrested after locking an 8-year-old girl in a closet, and cats are killing birds. Would you get some news here?
Sorry.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're online at philhenryshow.com, where you can go and get yourself a backstage pass and watch the show tonight on your mobile device, as we are now available to Phil Henry live stream, available on your iPhone and your Droid, as well as your iPad, as well as a number of other mobile devices. So if you're out, you can take the show mobile. 877-876-PHIL. We've got Doug Danger on the line with us from Tadine Raceway in the South Bay tonight, actually around Long Beach. Right, Doug?
Yeah, Phil. We're close to Long Beach, I guess. Wilmington, a few miles just to the north of Long Beach, yeah.
And you were going to weigh in on the conversation we were having here concerning sports fans.
Yeah, I think you hit a kind of a raw nerve with me when you were talking about sports fans in this country and what power they actually wield. And you absolutely were right on, Phil. I've been covering sports as well as entertainment for, as you know, the Orange County Courier for some 15 years. On top of that, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and as a result, I'm going to write in a much more honest way.
Now, you got to explain to people why you say you write more honestly because you're gay.
Yes, Doug, this is Margaret, and I don't think you've ever really explained that.
Well, yes, I have, but I'm very happy to do it again.
Well, no, I don't think you have. I think you've gotten, and if you'll forgive me, I think you've gotten defensive about it.
I don't think I've gotten defensive at all. I don't think I've gotten defensive at all. Hold on a minute. They're going to have a race going off here in a second, Phil, if you can hear me.
We're fine.
All right. I'm sorry. Are we on?
Yes, we're on.
I'm sorry. What I was going to say to you is that the there it goes. I got the three. I got the guy in the blue silk.
Hey, Doug?
Yeah.
Are you watching a race right now, or are you talking to me?
Can you just hold on for a minute, man? I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm going to let you go, all right?
Hold on. Come on, you dirty, filthy. Hold on, Phil. Just please, hold on. You dirty, filthy. Come on, you dirty, filthy bastard. Come on, you dirty, filthy bastard. Come on, you dirty, filthy bastard. Come on, you dirty son of a bitch. You dirty son of a bitch. Come on. Come on. Come on.
What is this? Hey, Doug.
Hold on. You dirty... Come on, you dirty, filthy...
What's the name of the horse you're betting on?
Dirty, filthy bastard. No, I'm kidding around. So, Phil...
did you bet that race?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I just was doing a little bit of...
doing some shtick. Look, I got just a little bit of...
Phil, I'm just trying to lighten the mood a little.
Don't lighten the mood. I'll lighten the mood, okay?
Well, what I'm trying to say to you and Ms. Gray and everybody listening is I think you're absolutely right. The sports fans of America today have no power because I don't think they ever will have any power. And in Europe, they do have power. In Europe, especially among these soccer fans, you have these soccer fan confederations. You have these. You actually have these fan unions.
I know. I was hearing about. I was hearing one case where one of the teams moved, and I think it was Wimbledon. It was one of the Premier League teams, and Wimbledon moved back in the early part of the preceding decade, the early part of the 2000s, and they moved up to another town. The fans in Wimbledon held on to the colors. They held on to the... And this is something the Cleveland Browns were able to do when Cleveland moved to Baltimore and became the Ravens. But this is a regular occurrence in English soccer, isn't it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The fans have a lot more say, and they have a lot more pull than American fans ever imagined that they could have. I don't even think American fans would want to have the kind of power that soccer fans have.
Why do soccer fans have this much influence with the clubs, with private business that doesn't even really have to... Not going to hear the horn.
It's not a horn. It's a trumpet. What do you got? Hold on, Phil. No, I didn't. I gave you two tickets. I got a Quinella. I had the Quinella. I didn't bet the race. Phil, so here's the thing.
Do you want to go bet this race? And
No, I don't. Here's the thing. There are fans and that have influence. There are fans that don't. English soccer fans have influence. American football fans have no influence, have absolutely no pull. And if you could walk up to... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I walked up to a group of football fans last 2 weeks ago during the conference championship game between San Francisco and Atlanta. And, I was just talking to some people in the bar and said, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I said, do you think that anybody actually, do you think you've got some say in what's going on here? And they said, what do you mean? I said, in terms of this, and I said, well, who's your team? I was in L.A., okay?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, where were you for the game?
That was just the sports bar down here in Orange County, in Laguna Beach. And I said, do you think that you matter? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, you don't. You don't matter at all. I said, you probably bear, I don't want to comment on your own life, whether you matter in your own life or not. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I can guarantee you this, when it comes to football games, no one cares about you. And the guy looked at me, and it just kind of had that look of realization and recognition, and we shook hands, and he thanked me.
Well, what is he thanking you for?
What do you mean he thanked you?
What?
What do you mean he thanked you?
He thanked me for giving him the realization that he stands there thinking that he's all, has influence with the teams, and the teams care about him. They don't care about you, man. Okay? They'll just pick up and move to another town. Now, in England, they don't make a move unless they consult with the fans. Because the fans in England, they'll set fire to your stadium and burn it down with you inside of it unless you do what they say.
Well, that is absolutely ridiculous, Doug, and I think that it's also very dangerous, and I think it's very slanderous for you to say that.
Wait. Hold on for a minute.
I agree with Margaret.
Well, you may agree with Margaret. Let me ask you, though. I point you in the direction of, I don't know, how many news stories from the latter half of the 20th century.
Well, wait. First of all, those stories had nothing to do with... What are you talking about?
He's talking about, like, the Hemsdale tragedy, those fans that died.
That's exactly right.
That had nothing to do with fans setting fire to stadiums. Those were tragic accidents having to do with the fans rushing the gates and so forth.
Well, I don't know where you've been, but fans, the English soccer fans are called, what are they called, Teddy? They're called goons,
Called hooligans. Hooligans.
Yeah, they're called hooligans. And these hooligans, unless you do exactly what they tell you to do, they will set fire to your stadium, tie you to one of the goalposts, and laugh as the whole thing burns to the ground. Okay?
You're all messed up, all right?
Oh boy, you pull the tapes of the show tonight, bud, and list the fillers. He goes, you. You, when you're not clear, Phil...
Hold the line here, Doug, and we'll be right back.
All right. I want to lay down a trifecta.
Doug Danger at the track and talking with us about the relative influence of sports fans today in America as opposed to, let's say, soccer fans in Great Britain, where they will, unless you do what they ask you to do, tie you to one of the goalposts and burn the stadium down.
What are you laughing at?
I just did the idea of that. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
No. I never bet a gray horse in the fifth ring.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to finish up here with Doug Danger. Doug is down at Trayline Raceways in Wilmington, California, and has been kind enough to speak with us, although if you are in the midst of betting these races, Doug.
I told you, Phil, I'm not. I'm not. I wish you wouldn't keep bringing that up.
Because I hear you saying to guys, who do you got in the next race?
I was kidding around on that one race, okay? I apologize. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm going to give you my undivided attention. And
well, you didn't when you were saying, you know, go...
I said, you dirty son of a bitch, you dirty son of a bitch. And you asked me, did you bet the race? And I said, yeah. And you said, what's the name of the horse? And I said, dirty son of a bitch. And I go, ha, ha, ha. You didn't think it was funny, which I thought was kind of rude. I thought it was. And I just backed away. So I was only kidding.
Yeah, so in other words, that was 40 seconds.
Are you two guys going to sit here and spank it over that? Or are you going to get to the point?
Spank it?
Got Margaret.
Well, yeah, I'm sitting here listening to the two of you playing Whittle You Know What.
Whittle You Know What? Boy, Margaret, I was talking to Phil.
I know what you were talking to Phil about. Are you two going to get to it or not?
Yes. Yes, we are. All right, Doug, the British sports fan, the British soccer fan that you say has all of this power, you claim has the power by way of a threat of violence.
Absolutely. I mean, take a look at the newspapers, Phil. What do they do over in England? They've got the goons or the goonigan. I don't know what they call it, but these are soccer fans.
They're called hooligans, and it is decidedly illegal, and I would dare say...
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
First of all, the British soccer fan is a hooligan. The British soccer fan unions, which exist up and down that country as part of the fan support that they lend to their Premier League soccer. That's their number one soccer league.
Right.
Is that the... Okay, that's a post call. Who's got the bet? Who's got the money?
Would you come on, Doug?
Sorry. You got... Joey's got the money. All right. Phil, it's post time. Okay, so...
Yeah, you just got done telling me you're not going to worry about that.
I'm not going to worry about it, but I just... So, the soccer fans in England have a great deal of influence. You just said so yourself. Now, you take these British soccer hooligans who, if you even so much as look at them cross-eyed, they will burn your stadium to the ground. Where you been, man? And
Doug, you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground, okay?
Not burning down a stadium on account of that.
Yeah, they are, man. Look at Dickman. Don't get up in my grill on this, okay? I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist.
Got nothing to do with you being gay. They burned it down on account of the hooliganism.
Yeah, hooliganism, you dumb plate-headed moron. And
hold on for a minute, okay?
No, this guy thinks he knows. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? Back off.
Wait a minute. Because a guy burns a stadium down doesn't make him some kind of
Right, go ahead. Go on, spit it out, man. You're doing real good there, President Lincoln, with your Gettysburg Address. Go on, what do you want to say?
They burn those stadiums down. Burning down a stadium? What are you talking about?
They burned down a stadium. Where you been?
Okay, but that was a mistake. That was an accident. That was a tragic accident. So were those people that died when there was a fan crush. Don't you understand, man? This has got nothing to do with them saying, unless you do this or that.
Well, okay, you just got done saying the fans in England have a lot of influence when it comes to soccer. And I agree with you. But where do you think that influence is?
They don't have no influence, Steve. They're going to kill a guy.
Will you shut up, man? Yes, they do.
Hold on. Don't tell anybody to shut up. He's got every right.
Yes, he does, Doug. And the other thing that I want to say is, If you say they're threatening them with violence, isn't that right?
Well.
All right. Then you would think that there would be a stadium burning down every day.
Good point.
Why isn't there?
Because they've grown up a little bit over there. They used to burn stadiums down left and right, man. What do you think? Phil's talking about this team, Wimbledon. What is it called?
Wimbledon. You never heard of Wimbledon?
Yeah, I've heard of Wimbledon. It's called tennis. Wow. Who would ever think of Wimbledon in the same breath as soccer, okay? Only you, Phil.
They won an FA Cup. I got the Wimbledon scarf. I'm going to show the Wimbledon scarf here on Phil TV in a moment.
Yeah, you do that.
Well, you're a real smartass.
No, I'm not a smartass, Phil. I'm a gay man. Wait a minute. Oh, come on, man. That's post time.
That's the second post time.
No, they're just doing the horn again in case people forgot. Where's Joey? If he doesn't get that bet down, I swear to God, I'm going to skin him alive and just throw his carcass out on the track right after they break from the gate. Right after they break from the gate, if he does not get that bet down.
I think he did.
Hey, Phil, can you hold on? I got to go over to the window.
No, I can't hold on. No, I can't. I'm going to hang up if you take off.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
So what we've got here, Doug, is you believing that the British soccer fan wields so much influence, he is going to burn stadiums down unless you do. Give me an example of what the British soccer fan has been able to achieve.
You just said yourself, man, Wimbledon was able to hold on to their colors. They were able to hold on to their fan union. And that Milton Keynes, that team that took over for the Wimbledon franchise, those jackballs had to apply for a whole new membership in the fan union, and they had to basically create a whole new fan union. So Wimbledon, that's what I'm saying right there.
Okay, big deal. So that was a
big deal.
Yeah, because that happened in the United States with Cleveland.
You don't get it, man. These fans have huge. You said yourself. Why are you going back on what you said?
I didn't think, and I don't believe, that the influence the British soccer fan has extends to them burning down stadiums if you don't do what they want. Now,
but what do you call the Gooliganism or the whatever it's called?
Gooliganism.
Yeah, it's called a Cooligan.
No, it's not. Was that the water company Culligan?
No, it's Hooligan. Culligan?
No, I think Margaret's right.
No, she's not right, man. It's Hooligan.
What is Culligan? That's the water company.
Yeah, they go, hey, Culligan, man! Hey, Culligan, man! That's they do.
All right, bud, I've got it.
Well, we got it, bud.
Hey, Culligan, man! This is what they do.
I understand that, bud. Thank you.
Culligan, man.
Shut up, man.
Yeah, bud, shut up, man.
You shut up.
Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'll come down there, and I'll make your mother wish she never met your father, and he'll wish that he had met your mother, but that he'd had the baby with his mistress. See what I'm saying? That's how bad I can make.
Okay.
Oh, my God, you hung up on Doug Danger, a gay man and a gay journalist. Do you understand the repercussions of some of the things you do? I don't think you really clearly think things out, Phil. Doug is going to be all over you like white on rice.
Hey, look, I can take so much of him talking about this ridiculous thing about how they'll burn the stadium to the ground if you don't do what they want. I can plate in the head and everything else. But when this guy starts, getting abusive, when he starts talking about, I forget what he just talked about.
Yeah, talk about me and everything.
He was just, yeah, I blacked it out. I blanked it out. I blacked and blanked it out. Okay.
Hello?
Bud, I'm telling you.
Wait a minute. Bud? What? What? No. No, he doesn't want you on the air. He doesn't want you on the air.
Is that Doug?
Yeah. He doesn't want you on the air, Doug. Okay. You heard what I said. Okay, good. It's Doug.
What are you putting him on?
Listen, you can't hang up on a gay man and a gay journalist. That's all kinds of wrong. There's about 500 different things that are wrong with that when you do that. All right?
Wait, hold on for a minute. What did you do, bud?
Put him on the air.
Are you talking to me or are you talking to... Boy... Are you talking to me, man, or are you talking to the guy with the tectonic head? That's all I want
to
know.
I'm talking to Bud right now, tectonic head.
You put him on the air.
You just got done telling him you didn't want to put him on the air. So what's your point?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
My point. I told you what my point is. My point is the British soccer fan wields so much power that unless you do exactly what he says for you to do, he will burn your stadium right to the ground.
and he'll burn that thing down, and he'll hold you hostage and force you to look at it. Okay?
Okay. Okay. Let's say I'm the owner of a major soccer team. What's the biggest soccer team in England?
The biggest soccer team?
Yeah.
Manchester United. Manchester United. You know how much they're worth?
Oh, I just saw this in the news.
You know how much Manchester United is worth? You think football, American football is fake? You know how much they're worth?
No.
$3 billion.
Oh, my God.
I just saw that. That's amazing.
$3 billion. $3 billion. That's Manchester United. And you want to know why they're worth $3 billion? Because they pay attention to their fans, and they don't let their fans torch everything in town. They don't let their fans... Manchester United's worth $3 billion. They kick ass, they take names, they win all kinds of championships and all that kind of stuff. And
what's the last championship they won?
I don't know. So, yeah, I'm sure they won one somewhere. I mean, you know, they just always win. Okay? Okay, Phil?
Yeah.
All right. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. $3 billion. And you want to know why? Because they pay attention to what their fans want, and they know that if they don't do what the fans tell them to do, the fans will go to the home of the owner, burn that down, burn the stadium down, burn down each house that the players live in. So how many is that? 20? Wait a minute.
Will you come on with that track?
Sorry. Hey, Blinky, go find Joe and find out what he did with my bet. He owes me an exacta ticket. All right, so they'll burn down all of the stands. They'll burn...
You did it again.
That's right. And if he calls back, Bud, don't put him on the air.
Yes, sir.
Which means you are going to put him on the air, doesn't it?
Well...
Bud, what are you, stupid or something, man? He said, don't put him back on the air. I mean, don't put him back on the air.
Oh.
What an idiot. If you don't do what the English soccer fan wants you to do, he'll burn down every home of every player, the owner's house, and the stadium. Ah, yes. Boy.
Well, it does sound inviting, doesn't it?
Inviting? It's criminal. It's beyond belief. No, the whole thing with English soccer, just so you guys know, the whole thing with all of those horrifying tragedies in England, there was the hooliganism of the English fans on the continent. The British fans ran amok in Italy and did cause some deaths as people tried to get away from them. These deaths that happen in these soccer stadiums, folks, are the result of the what they no longer have in England, which is these terraces, this all standing room admission. People were crushed in the exits. I think it was Hillsborough was one, Hemsdale was another. They couldn't get out of the stadium. And the reason why they were rushing to get out of the stadium had to do, in some instances, with perhaps some fight that was going on in Italy. That was the case. It was a clear case of manslaughter, if not just out-and-out homicide on the part of these English fans. In England, it had to do with just the rush of fans trying to get into the game. And it was caused, according to a government report, by the reality that British soccer stadiums at that time had standing room only at terraces. That is, you could just stand and watch the game. And as you probably can imagine, people will just cram into spaces like that, figuring, you know, it's just, what, you know, standing room only means standing room only. If I can stand up, I've got some space. That can cause, and did cause, dangerous situations that resulted in people dying. They came out with a government report.
Now, this was the Taylor Report.
Called the Taylor Report, yes. That said that the English soccer stadiums had to convert to what they call now all-seaters. Now, we're familiar with that in the United States because our stadiums are all-seaters. We don't have, with the exception of one sport, which we just heard Doug at, horse racing has standing room general admission. But I don't know of any football stadiums, basketball, nothing that has that kind of a feature to any great degree. So in England, they didn't have these all-seaters, and they were mandated by the government to convert their stadiums, which they did do. So everyone that comes to a soccer game in England now has to have a seat.
But what they have before that?
Aren't you listening, Bud?
You hear what I just said, Bud? They're standing.
Yeah, I know they're standing, but did they have a seat?
No, they didn't have a seat. Why do you say that?
He thinks that if they came in, they wanted to stand up, they still had a seat.
No. No seats. So, in other words, just a big, wide area. You could walk in and stand there. And if you've seen any of those old games on TV, you saw there was chain link fence, there was the chicken wire. It was primitive and really ugly and looked frightening to me, and I can imagine why it was so dangerous. Well, since the report came out in the early 90s, now they have this the all-seaters, and it's much safer. Much, 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 much safer. And people can still go to the games, and they can still sing those songs and stuff.
That's the charming thing about soccer in England, is they sing those songs. And I love those songs. They go, oh, do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do. You know the one, Bud?
Nah.
It goes, do-do-do-do. Here we go. Yay. Do-do.
No, they do that football game.
Yes, English soccer.
No, in America.
What you're doing, Margaret.
What do you know? Hold on for a minute, Phil. What do you mean in America?
Never go, here we go, dodo, here we go.
Yeah, here, dodo.
I'm just saying.
That's what they do in England.
No, Margaret, no. Here we go, here we go. That's typically American.
Well, what are the songs they sing in England? Don't they sing that one? Let's go, do-do-do-do. Let's go, do-do-do-do. Let's go, do-do-do-do. Space truckin', let's go.
The space truckin'?
What means space truckin'?
I don't know, but I know that there's songs that they sing in the G.D. stinking, crawling, rotten, fetid, and I only hope they all die and go to hell. Soccer in...
Wow.
Oh, don't give me that, Phil. You made this. You made your bed. Now sleep in it.
We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth. Talk about making a bed.
He's our bitch.
You ought to make
Phil Henry
bed.
Show.
I make all the beds in our house. Man.
Hey, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. This story caught my eye. But I don't know if any of you guys are up on this. The 13th female possibly to be executed in the history of the United States, her execution has been stayed or halted by the Supreme Court. I don't know if that's the Supreme Court of Texas or of the United States.
Well, I would think it's the United States.
Yeah. According to reports, Kimberly McCarthy will become the 13th female in the history of the U.S. to be executed by the justice system. Reports claim that McCarthy is one of the rare executions wherein she will be executed through lethal injection in Texas on January 29th. That's today. McCarthy faces charges of stabbing murder of a 71-year-old neighbor in 1997. McCarthy will also become the first woman to be hanged in Texas in more than 8 years. What? During the trial of McCarthy, she was tied to two similar murders committed a decade ago. Wait a minute. She's going to die by way of lethal injection?
Maybe they got to do it both. Why the hell do they do it both, man?
What is going to be is one of the rare executions wherein she'll be executed. Oh, claimed that she is one of the rare executions executed. However, now she will become the first woman to be hanged in more than 8 years. During the trial of McCarthy, she also was tied to two similar murders. Earlier, the last woman executed in the U.S. was Teresa Lewis of Virginia on the 23rd of September 2010, after 5 years of the previous execution. She was executed for plotting the murder of her husband and stepson for insurance money. 41-year-old Lewis arranged the double murder in lieu of $250,000 in insurance payments. However, the two men who actually carried out the shooting escaped the death sentence. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, that's like the mafia.
Yeah, they got to give it to the big shot.
The big shot. Some woman.
She's not like she runs the mafia.
Yeah, but she was the brains behind the operation.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right? She was the brains behind it. We're not talking about organized crime here. Look, I'm not saying that, you know, she didn't deserve to die. I don't know. I don't know who makes the rules, man. I mean, who says who? There's cats that are going down for the count, which I'm not saying I disagree with. But, you know, these women die, okay, and yet scumbag here in California is still alive. You know, this guy, Richard Ramirez.
Oh, Ramirez, you're on about Richard. You won't be happy till he's dead. No, it's not that, Margaret. No. No, you won't be happy till Richard Ramirez dies. And I think I know why, Phil.
Why?
I think you've got a problem with Mexicans.
Gee, Mr. Henry does not.
No, I don't. What a thing to say, okay?
Oh, what a thing to say. Are you white?
Yes.
Then you've got a problem with Mexicans.
You know, Margaret...
understand you, Margaret.
Yes, they can. I am trying to be sensitive to the feelings of the children that may be listening right now.
Oh, you're being sensitive to the feelings.
Don't be sarcastic, Phil.
I'm not being sarcastic. You're accusing me of racism, and yet you don't have the guts.
I'm being sensitive to the children. I'll be as clear as I can while being sensitive to the young people. I know they shouldn't be listening, but they are.
Yeah, you're mumbling everything. Nobody's going to know. People are going to think you're talking about another nationality.
What could I be saying?
You could say... If you whisper it and you go, Mr. Henry is prejudiced against me, what about Canadians?
Oh, would you shut up, bud? I'm prejudiced against who?
You're prejudiced against anything. I'm not going to say it.
Mexicans is what she said.
You said it, I didn't. You said that's on you, not me.
And I'm not, ladies and gentlemen. I just wonder, what are the rules? If this people in Texas are going down for the count, in Virginia they're getting, they're pulling the switch. What about California? Well, in California, they care about human life. Well, not really. They care about the convict, the people that he killed. Well, they're long gone, man. That's like, over 20 years. Anyway, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Thanks for nothing.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, quit being bitter. You're just doing music.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back. Here it is, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here until 1 o'clock every night on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. I thought we were going to can that, bud.
Got to take the copy out of here.
Yeah. Get that stuff out of here. I don't want those old slogans. Get them out of here, man. We're not using that anymore, all right? As I said, we're done. Finished. Fini. All right, let's bring on one of our great and treasured sponsors, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Yeah.
Ted.
Oh, good.
Of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, the Super Bowl is coming up this weekend. Where would you rather be than Ted's of Beverly Hills in the prime rib room having a Ted, having one of those delicious steaks with the greatest steak knife that I've been to Ted's.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Now, hold on for a minute, Phil, because I think what I need to do right now, and forgive me, but this often happens when I'm on your program, and I don't know why it is just on your show, because it doesn't happen on anybody else's show, but the thing that really that frusts me is I usually have... here we go. Okay, fine. I'm good now.
What was going on?
What was going on is I was looking for the car sound effect.
What do you mean the car sound effect?
Well, I'm not in the kitchen. I'm driving.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, and I had no... I don't want people to think I'm standing in the kitchen like they usually do, listening to me, giving you and Margaret and everybody my opinion on the events of the world. But in point of fact, I'm actually at an HPV right now. I'm driving a Mercedes McLaren, and I'm a very, very lucky man. I just want to say this, Phil, if I could just take a moment. To everybody listening to the Phil Hendry broadcast here this evening, I'm a very lucky man. I know that we're going through a recession. I know that there are very, very tough times that a lot of Americans are facing. I know that many of you are out of work. I know that many of you have lost homes. I know that many of you have lost businesses. I think it is one of the great tragedies of life that sometimes these economic downturns can destroy whole families, can ruin dreams, and I can only hope that the times that we're living through improve rapidly for all of you out there that are going through these very, as I said, very difficult times. Now, having said that, I'm a very fortunate man. My restaurant has done well. We have continued to grow our business. Maybe it's the business I'm in, Phil. The fact is I own a beautiful home. My wife and my son want for nothing. I'm able to spend some of the money that I make on toys like this car I'm in, the Mercedes McLaren. You've heard of it, right, Phil?
I have, yes, yes.
All right, well, that wasn't a very resounding yes.
It's a very, very expensive automobile.
It is. It is the most expensive Mercedes, isn't it, Ted?
By the,
I said it's the most expensive Mercedes.
That is exactly. It's a 300. It's a 400. What's the most expensive Rolls Royce? I don't know. What is it, Phil? Do you know?
I don't know. The most expensive Rolls, maybe about 400 grand.
All right, well, this is 450,000.
Yo, you just said that to...
Wait. I want to make some... Do I got to talk?
Yes, you talk to everybody that's on my show. Yes.
All right. What did you say? Whatever. What is it, Bud?
Yeah, you said you just made it more money to make it sound like your car is better.
What did he...
You heard him, Ted. You asked for the most expensive Rolls...
Well, hold on for a minute. What are you... You know, you heard him, Ted. I'm Ted Bell. I'm on your show. I just talked about Mercedes McLaren. I'm talking about... Oh, man. Let's just line this up in order again. Margaret?
Yes, Ted, I'm here.
All right, Robert.
I'm not here, sir.
All right, I know that Dickman, who's the one with the big mouth. Is that Dickman?
That was Bud, yeah.
All right, okay, I want to. Everybody's paying attention, right?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
All right, I'm Ted Bell, okay?
Yeah, we know.
Oh, hey, sunshine. I'm Ted Bell. Now, I've got... Oh, forget it.
Well, what is so funny about that?
It just is. It's just funny. It's just funny. It's so funny that he's so petty that because somebody talked out of turn, he just hung the phone up.
Well, they didn't want to hang the phone up, but he just then he did.
Yeah, he was going to, like, give a speech, and then he just got too tired and he hung up.
He's back on the line, Mr. Henry.
Yes, Ted.
Forget that I hung up. What I want to say is, everybody paying attention?
Wait, hold on for a minute.
Come on, just forget it. Is everybody paying attention?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm right here, Ms. Bell.
All right. I'm Ted Bell. Isn't there one glimmer or one spark of recognition?
I know who you are.
All right, then what are you doing asking me questions and having that one saying, you only did that? I can't understand what he's saying. It sounds like I've walked into a ward. It sounds like I walked into one of the wings over there where they have those poor, unfortunate kids, you know, the ones that no one can do anything with. They just scream and yell all day. That's what it sounds like. Now, Phil, you know...
We didn't need that reference.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm very fortunate. All I was trying to do is say how fortunate I am.
And we know how fortunate you are. And your point is what?
My point is that I'm Ted Bell, and that, well, you know, I wanted to come on the program here, Phil, and talk a little bit with you about sports, about the Ray Lewis situation, about the Super Bowl that's coming up.
Ted, I'm sorry if... I don't understand why you're crying, though.
I don't either.
You don't understand?
No, I don't understand, man. I mean, we had you on the show. Bud butted in.
When I was talking about the... Hold on for a minute. Give me a minute.
Oh, my God.
That wasn't what you think. I was blowing my nose.
I was going to say, I thought he took his phone into the bathroom.
All right. I was going to talk with you about a couple of news stories. One was the woman that you said was going to be executed in Texas, right?
Yes.
All right. Guess what? Newsflash. No, she ain't. See, this is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm Ted Bell.
I know that they had... I believe I made that announcement.
What announcement did you make?
I said there was a stay on the execution right as soon as I started talking about it.
Yeah, well, you did, but sort of you didn't.
Yeah, you did, but you didn't. All right.
How did I... What do you mean I did, but I didn't?
Oh, you almost said, how did I did, but I didn't. You almost said that, and then I would have had you. Then you would have been mine. Because from that point forward, people would think you were nothing more than a highly evolved Gloid, and I was the host of the show. Just from you saying, I almost did, but I didn't. Well, you know...
No, Ted, just what is the point that you're trying to make? Because even I'm beginning to get irritated.
The point that I'm trying to make is that woman that was to be executed in Texas, there has been a stay of execution. That's number one. Number two, Mr. Henry, who claims to be an advocate of the death penalty, is finding fault with the fact that they want to keep their options open in Texas
by essentially saying they may hang her, they may do lethal injection. They haven't made up their mind yet.
And I don't think that's what they're saying at all. Okay, I think that that's cruel and unusual.
Well, wait a minute. What do you mean you don't think that's what they're saying? What did you read in that story?
What I read in the story, Doug, was that the state of Texas was planning on executing this woman. There was a stay of execution today. She was scheduled for execution today. And a very conflicting part in the news story that said she was going to be the first woman executed by way of lethal injection, and then she would be the first woman who would be hanged. Okay?
Well, first of all, you carved that up. It's hung, not hanged. And
no, it isn't. It's hanged.
No, it's... Ted's right. It's hung. And don't look... See what he did? See what Bud did?
He's not doing anything, Margaret.
He's given me the...
Is he looking at you? You know, Margaret, you're not much... Well, I better not say, but I tell you something, Dickman. If I find out that you were looking her up and down as we said the words hung...
All right, listen to me, and listen very carefully. I'm not going to say this again. I don't want to hear any more references to Bud looking you up and down when he says something that you think is suggestive, okay?
What do you mean, I think?
Well, if you say in a word, you're the guy that is emphasizing hanged, it forces us to emphasize hung.
You're wrong. You're using the word wrong. It's hanged. Number two, I believe the news story is badly reported. I don't think Texas is keeping their options open. I think there's something squirrely about this news story, okay?
Well, you don't think that the state of Texas, and I'm Ted Bell, and when I say that I'm Ted Bell, it's almost like it sounds like I'm saying I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. So, you know, you may want to separate yourself from Doug a little bit.
Well, how about that? So, in other words, I'm gay. Is that it?
Yeah, a little bit. All you do is sound gay. And
well, you know something? Now you know, just not only is this guy got a... Not only does this guy have... not only has he got a metal head, but he's a bigot.
Oh.
I don't know why you let those people on the air.
Those people? That's a sponsor of mine.
Well, I don't know why he's a sponsor then.
Ted's okay most of the time. Most of the time. All right, well, we'll look into just exactly if they execute this woman, McCarthy, what method they'll use. Not that, you know, my whole point is the death penalty. I got no problem with the death penalty. I just don't know how, you know. California had made it unconstitutional, then it became constitutional, and then they said, well, it's constitutional, but we just won't really execute anybody. And again, when a guy like Richard Ramirez has been alive for 30-plus years on death row, or going on 30 years, and this woman is going down for the count here after 7, you know, something wrong, man. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I want the steak knives back that I gave you.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're online at philhendryshow.com, and we're very happy to report tonight that we are finally live streaming over your mobile device, whether it is a Droid or an iPhone, also on iPad, also on your desktop, all kinds of different delivery platforms or places where you access the internet and other media. That's where we are. And this is 3 years after we introduced our first redesign, our first website redesign. And now here in January of 2013, 3 years after the initial redesign, we are into another one. And we are providing our subscribers now with mobile access on their iPhones. So, you know, we're really excited about that because we personally think that that is a must in terms of media for the future. And I can only again quote myself.
Oh, God, here we go again with Facebook.
Yeah, that's right. Here we go again with Facebook.
Let's give it a rest, Mr. Henry.
What do you mean, give it a rest?
No, you know, I'm talking about it.
No, I'm not always talking about it. I'm going to think, I think I'll talk a little bit more about it. God.
Well, you've been breaking that poor kid's castanets. Mark Zuckerberg's doing the best he can.
Oh, well, isn't that just wonderful? How dare I break the castanets of that poor kid? Poor Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, kid's trying to make a business out of it. And what are you doing?
Oh, he's trying to make a business. Trying to make it go, is he? Is he really kind of, he's got his nose to the grindstone, up every night till 2 a.m. trying to make his little tiny itsy bitsy teeny weeny social media business Facebook?
And by the way, would you tell him not to call it Faceful, please?
It's only a joke.
What are you doing?
He's calling it Faceful. All it said is if you want to go find out about it, if you want to find out about Faceful, then go get some.
Did you hear that? And I have been extremely, extremely restrained.
Yeah, bud, that is absolutely uncalled for.
What? All I said was Faceful.
Don't call it Faceful, okay?
You understand what I mean? You see what I'm up against? And you think it's just a wandering eye.
Margaret, I understand that he comes up with some crude references. I also understand that just because he said the word hung and then his lazy eye wandered up and down on you.
Oh, are you going to laugh? Here, look at Phil.
It's funny. I'm sorry.
It is kind of funny.
It is not funny. Try being a woman in this society of ours. Being a woman, and what happened to you? You were going to talk about something.
Oh, you mean broadcasting?
Yes.
Yeah, it is a suck business. For women, this is a lousy, rotten business. Radio is the worst business for women. The worst. The worst. Take it from me.
Why? Because you're a woman?
I'm going to belt you. No. Anybody can see it. Anyone with eyes in their head can see. Take a look at the average talk station. Take a look at the average talk station when it comes to minorities. I mean, this business is so glaringly sexist and racist, it's not even funny.
Now, you're going to get in trouble for that.
Oh, I'm not going to get in trouble for anything. Let me tell you something. That radio station in Kansas City that ran that ad for that white power scumbag, you remember that? And they said that they, we have to run it. The law says we got to run it. No, they didn't have to run it at all. They didn't have to run. Community standards dictated that they did not have to run that ad. If that was going to be patently offensive, for instance, as I'm sure it was to their African-American listeners, but in radio, they don't care about that stuff. They don't even know from race in talk radio. But here's the thing about the point I was making. Women, I was talking to a friend of mine today who is in the radio business and has been for many years, is a veteran. Many years in this business, a female, and she's also a high-profile personality, meaning she's not just reading the news and doing a lot of the things that women have been relegated to in this business. She is a high-profile morning show personality. And because, I'm telling you right now, because she's female, you know, it's almost impossible, man. It's almost impossible. It's tough enough for guys in an environment like we have now. The radio business is slowly coming apart at the seams. It's tough enough for guys to get jobs now, especially when you're talking about personality radio. But for a woman, it's just not even, doesn't even happen. Doesn't even exist, okay? Now, this is a fact. I'm not making it up. I'm not, you know, this is exactly how it is. So, yeah, to be perfectly honest, as the radio business continues to, erode, one of the areas that they will be able to look at long from now, when someone digs up the dirty, busted-up relics and the wreckage of this industry, they can take a look at the lack of real initiative in hiring really creative and talented people. No women, no minorities. And on and on and on it goes. And what do you get? You got a bunch of white guys, conservative radio. That's what it is. And I don't give a damn if people don't like what I'm saying. It happens to be a fact. Even the conservatives that are on the air doing their shows, such as they are, even those guys would agree with me. It's pathetic.
Well,
Yeah, there you go, Mr. Henry.
Brownie points there, man.
What do you mean brownie points?
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I do. You got brownie points on that. But nobody's going to change. You just got the brownie point.
Yeah, you did put the brownie point good.
When you're talking brownie point, don't do shorthand, all right?
Yeah, I didn't understand what you just said.
Brownie point good.
Don't say brownie point good.
What does that mean, brownie point good? I'm not trying for any brownie points, okay? I can guarantee you what I just said now ain't endeared me to anybody, man. Not even women. Because it's just too, you know, this country doesn't want to know from any of that stuff. But I'm just talking about the business that I'm in, a radio business.
I thought you said that you didn't give a damn any longer.
I don't, and I'm sorry. I went against my own. I don't. You're right. I don't care. Okay? And one more thing.
You don't care?
I don't care. 877. Yeah, David. David G. Hall on the line. David, what's up?
I just want to thank you once again, Phil, for, venting your spleen against the industry. That makes, selling your show.
Oh, don't give me that bull crap about selling my show. If you get up off your ass once a day to pick up the phone to try to pitch my show, it's a record breaker.
Well, that hurts. That hurts. The stuff that I've been doing. The
stuff you've been doing. What have you been doing?
Well, it's a tough market right now, okay? You know, I'm going to lunch. I'm not necessarily going to lunch on your behalf. I'm just saying, okay, that when you start talking about how there's no women, no minorities, all that does is get these guys angry. They go, oh, didn't I hear Henry the other night? He was talking about the radio business is racist and sexist. Yeah, sure. I'd really like to put him on the show. I'd like to put him on the air. That's what I'm going to do.
So that's the excuse this week, huh? Last week it was something else. Just face it, man. You suck.
I suck?
You suck when it comes to pitching this show. And tell me that I'm not telling the truth. When I said that I was just talking to a friend of mine, okay? It's not like I just decided I'm going to talk about this tonight. Someone was talking to me, and I'm listening to the frustration of this person as they're talking about having a U-Haul it all over the country trying to find jobs, even when the times were good.
Look, all I'm trying to tell you is when you get on the air and you start talking all of this stuff about women aren't getting this and that, and then you brought up this lady that was getting executed in Texas, and it sounded to me like you were all,
I was all what?
Well, isn't she going to be executed for sticking somebody's head in a garbage disposal or whatever it was?
No, she stabbed somebody.
Yeah, but see, you're getting all sympathetic to that.
No, I'm not, man. No, I didn't. I just said, why are they killing them in Texas and not in California?
No, that's not how I heard it.
Well, you know what? Go listen to it again. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Don't hang up on me.
How did you get back on the air?
I busted off a hang up.
You busted off of hang-up.
That's right.
Hello?
Phil Hendry.
Up and tell me, don't talk about this, don't talk about that, Mr. Hall, sir. Just go out. You do your job, I'll do mine, Which so far the way it's looking, I'm doing my job, you ain't doing yours. Just get out there and pinch it, And I didn't say pinch it, I said pitch it, bud.
Down like pinch it.
I don't care. I know what I said. All right, now, a couple of interesting stories, and they harken back, if you will. They have connections to our most recent past. But first, let me just get into the nuts and bolts of the stories we've been talking about. The first woman I don't want to beat this into the ground, but the first woman scheduled to be executed in the U.S. since 2010 won a reprieve on Tuesday, hours before she was scheduled to be taken to the Texas death chamber. Larry Mitchell, a state district judge in Dallas, rescheduled Kimberly McCarthy's punishment for April 3 so lawyers for the former nursing home therapist could have more time to pursue an appeal focused on whether her predominantly white jury was improperly selected on the basis of race. McCarthy is black.
Well,
don't say it, man.
No, I'm not going to say anything, but most of the people that they put to death are black.
That's true.
Well, that is true, Phil.
I know. I'm not arguing that yes, you're right.
Yeah, but most people,
Okay, what Bud's going to say is that most of the criminals are black.
Dude, that's why he's a racist, man. You're never going to be different.
Why? Are not most of the criminals black?
We don't know that, quote, most of the criminals are black. You got to look. It's too simple-minded to be looking at statistics that way. You cannot. If you want the truth, then you've got to look for the truth. If you want just a convenient excuse, then you're going to find it. Numbers, as they say, people always say that numbers don't lie. Numbers lie all the time. You can make them say anything you want. All right? And I don't even know. Even per capita, based on population of the percentage of the population, so on and so forth. I don't even know if that's true. But there's a hell of a lot of people that are black on death row. A lot of them are put to death, and you know, and it ain't got nothing whatsoever to do with anything other than social economic factors, which every time you say that, people roll their eyes, but that happens to be the truth. And really, a fair amount of injustice.
So now you're saying that they're going to put a guy to death and kill him and everything on account of he being black.
It's not a guy, it's a woman.
Yeah, but at that level, it doesn't matter.
Well, that's true.
What do you mean that's true?
Well, I mean at that level.
At what level is that?
Well, by the time you're going to go to the death house, you might as well be a guy.
Yeah, if you're going to go to the death house, might as well be a guy.
Why don't you guys get out of here with your freaky notions? All right, so thank you for that piece of news. And we can only, like I say, wait and watch. And this whole thing is going, man, it's going. The whole idea of the death penalty as an appropriate punishment, as I don't even want to talk about it. Grumpy Tommy Lee Jones pulls a Michaela goes viral. That's right. The Summer Olympics not impressed gymnast has some Hollywood competition. Remember that girl that had that kind of squirreled up looking face?
Yes.
She had that kind of chewing on her lip. Tommy Lee Jones, the 66-year-old Lincoln star, scowled during Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig's otherwise adored comedy presenting bit in which the plot of his movie Hope Springs was botched. And now that scowl has gone as viral as Michaela's did. Jones, the picture of his mean mug is being juxtaposed against that other snarly cyber sensation, Grumpy Cat.
Woo!
Now here's a story, man, that just is, I don't know, this is like nuts. 6 years ago, there was an automobile accident on Pacific Coast Highway involving a Ferrari. Pacific Coast Highway here in the Los Angeles area. Some nut was driving a Ferrari, and it got split in half. I mean, right down the middle, the thing got busted in half. Now, the same guy has been arrested yet again for, I think, another, I don't know what was it, maybe this was a Ferrari accident. The passenger of a Ferrari that split in half 6 years ago after a collision on PCH was arrested Sunday in Beverly Hills on suspicion of evading police in another super-powered sports car. The car was allegedly traveling at such high speeds that Beverly Hills police officers trying to make a traffic stop were unable to pursue him. Officers said they were trying to pull over Trevor Michael Carney, age 32, to notify him about a restraining order when he fled. A restraining order.
So he's bothering some woman. He's driving fast. This is, it's right out of Breathless, Phil. Do you remember Breathless?
The film?
No, the pancake mix. Yes, the film.
What do you mean a pancake mix?
Well, what do you think I'm talking about?
Margaret, it could be a song. It could be a book.
No, it's a film. Breathless had the very sexy and the very immortal Jean-Paul Beaumont. Or you might know him as Belmondo. That's the way Americans say it.
I know Jean-Paul Belmondo. I've heard that. I've never heard Jean-Paul Beaumont.
That, here we go again. Boy, you don't know anything. The French pronunciation.
Yeah, but that doesn't sound anything like it.
Excuse me, I'll deal with you later. Jean-Paul Beaumont, right? Now, he was in the film Breathless, I think with that wonderful French actress. Her name was, I don't know what it was. It was Candy something. It was just amazing. It's about a psycho. It's about, you keep talking about psychopaths and sociopaths, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he was. He was an extremely virile and attractive and dangerous man that this girl, Bridget, it might have been Gina Lola, what is the one, Gina Bordeaux?
Margaret, you just said that great French actress.
I know, I've heard, it's Bridget, Lola Brigida, Lola Brigida.
Bridget Lola Brigida. I don't know who the hell that is.
If you're screwing with me...
Margaret, I don't know who you're talking about.
I'll look it up, Miss Gray, find out.
Look it up, will you, for God's sake? She's fantastic.
How can you say she's fantastic and you don't know her name?
I know. It's Gina Bola...
Gina Bola Brigida.
No.
No?
So you are messing with me.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to figure out. French actress, 50s?
Yes, it was made in the 50s.
Jean-Paul Belmondo, was it Jean...
Jean Rayburn.
I'm going to kick...
All right, hold it, hold it.
Kick your ass.
Don't go Christian Bale on us here, okay?
Oh, my God. Wait till he hears what you...
He doesn't hear. I don't know. Who are some French actresses?
I'm trying to look it up right now.
Somebody look it up on IMDb.
In any event, he is wildly sexy, Jean-Paul Belmondo, and this French slut, she's a wonderful actor, I can't remember. But they go on this wild joyride through the countryside, etc., in the city, and he's escaping the police, very sexy. Now, this man strikes me as he might be the same type. Restraining order, hello, that means a girl. Sports car, hello. Love speed, running away from cops. Women love that.
Now, wait just a minute, Margaret.
No, I'm sorry. Women love it.
Well, okay. Now, you know, you are... That's you talk about painting with a broad brush.
What do you mean women love it?
I'm saying that women love it. Women may deny it, but women love it. We love it.
So women love really dangerous guys that could get them killed.
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, we do. We don't know at the time they're going to get us killed, and we certainly don't hope that that happens. But we can't avoid, they're irresistible, just irresistible.
Well, it may be, you know.
You're not even going to argue with me?
No, I'm not going to argue with you. It could very well be. I mean, I've seen women that find guys like that sexy beyond words. You know, it always winds up bad, never winds up good, never, never, ever.
It never winds, what about Frank and I?
You're trying to tell me that Mr. Gray is driving around like that?
No, but what if, no.
What if he did? All right, we got another one here. Gina Lollobrigida, was that who was in that movie, Breathless, with Jean-Paul Belmondo? Maybe it was. That was Dan.
Yes, thank you, Dan. Gina Lollobrigida, what is it?
Gina Lollobrigida.
Gina Lolo, oh, I know. So the French would be Gina Lollobrigida. Gina Lollobrigida. Gina Lollobrigida, yeah.
You butchered it up. That can't be what it is.
Why don't you shut up before I shut you up?
All right. I don't know where we're going with this, but you were making the point that guys that drive really fast cars and are threatening violence against their woman, they're actually really sexy and women dig that.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm not saying that I disagree with you. I think that that's the epitome of masculinity. It's kind of like a guy really being attracted to a woman with large breasts and a great ass and a 19-inch waist and the big lips and the blonde hair, like a Playboy bunny. In other words, it's not as dangerous, although who knows, but it's like it's the same veneer, do you think?
Well, I think the Jean-Paul Bimont is more, there's more substance there than what you just described. I think women that are interested in a psychopath that could very well end the night, you know, by making the most incredible love to them and then cutting their throats from ear to ear, that's terribly exciting.
What?
Oh, don't give me...
Are you out of your mind?
Are you a woman?
No, I'm not. If you said yes, then I'd know you're, you know...
If you said yes to me...
No, I'm saying... Never mind. I just think what you just said there is the most psychotic thing I've ever heard.
Oh, get a grip, will you, Phil? Would you get a grip? Would you wrap your hand around it and just squeeze? You know what? Why don't you go straight to...
Oh, here she goes.
Yeah, here she goes. You've got no respect at all.
I got no respect at all. I got no respect. Here's a woman sitting here telling me that it's terribly exciting to go out with a guy, drive fast, run from the cops, split the car in half, restraining order on the guy. He makes passionate love to a woman and then slits her throat from ear to ear, and that's terribly exciting.
That's right. And I'm sorry to have to do this. Where's the toilet paper, for God's sake?
Would you put toilet paper in there, bud?
What?
Put toilet paper in there. We'll take a break here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Harvey Weierman's going to join us in just a moment to talk about the legal ramifications of all of this as we join Harvey for Legal Talk on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Back in just a moment.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What? You've got no respect.
I can't hear you.
You've got no respect.
listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking with the Margaret and Bud, and though Margaret's still indisposed, she was upset with me because I had we had an argument. The actress, by the way, was Jean Seberg in the film Breathless, which was remade with Richard Gere, and sounds like it ought to be remade a couple more times because it's like as timeless a story as there is. This sort of psychopathic guy, this exciting guy, who leads this woman astray. At the end of the Richard Gere version, I didn't see the Jean-Paul whatever.
Jean, I told you, Jean-Paul Beaumont. If you want to say Belmondo.
Yeah, I'd like to say Belmondo. At the end of the Richard Gere one, they wind up shooting him, the cops. Let's get on the line here. Chris Norton. Chris is a telemarketer from Redondo Beach, California. He's also an aspiring adult film producer. Chris, you have been on our program before, contributing in matters having to do with, you know, men, women, the social scene, although this may be a little bit far afield for you. Did you ever see, or are you familiar with anyone in your life, or maybe perhaps some behavior on your own part, where you kind of push the envelope in terms of danger with women to impress them?
That's sort of a hard question to answer because for me, first of all, I don't really have, and I'm, you know, I'm not trying to talk about myself like I think I'm special or anything, but I don't have to really go out of my way to impress women because I'm just in my life, and, you know, it's just sort of the way it's been for me is I've been very successful luring, you know, having women go to bed, you know, with me, and I've never had to.
Have you ever, so you've never tried to impress a woman?
I mean, I do impress women by the way that I walk and the way I sit and have a drink, those areas.
What does that mean? What do you mean, the way you walk?
The way I... Who am I speaking with, by the way?
My name is Margaret Graham, a journalist.
Oh, yeah? How you doing?
Just save it, Chris. I'm asking some questions. When you say you impress women...
Yeah, when you say that you impress women with your walk...
There are areas where I am very impressive. First of all, my face... My face impresses them. By that, I mean, when they look at my face, it's good to look at.
You're handsome.
Yeah, sir. I'm handsome. My face, the way I walk, just the way I stride, I've got a certain stride where I move my shoulders as well as my feet, and it all just looks good. And then I will sit on the bar. The way I sit at a bar stool or at when I order a drink or something, like a Captain Morgan's, a Coke.
Okay, the way you sit at the...
The way you sit at a bar stool.
I don't know. Not sit at a bar stool.
The way you sit on a bar stool.
Yeah. I've had women tell me that they watch me. I will spend anywhere from... I will spend anywhere from, say, 5 hours to 7 hours sitting on a bar stool. And women have watched me for that long.
So you are warming a bar stool 5 to 7 hours a day?
No, not a day. I mean, maybe every other day.
What do you do? You're a telemarketer.
Yes, sir.
You're a telemarketer, and yet you're spending every other day 5 to 7 hours on a bar stool?
Well, it's the same bar stool. It's one of the things you need to understand, Mr. Henry, and you, Ms. Gray, is that I'm not trying to be egotistical or anything, but my face, you asked me what attracts women. My face does. The way that I walk, I slide more than walk.
You slide.
What does that mean on a slide?
I'm sorry?
What's that mean, the slide?
But is that like a Texas slide?
No, man, it's not a Texas slide. That's more of a dance, which they do at a Rusty Pelican. See, what I do is I hang at a Rusty Pelican in Manhattan.
You mean Manhattan Beach?
No, I'm actually Hermosa, or Redondo Beach. That's in Redondo Beach.
And you're in Redondo Beach at the Rusty Pelican?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I am there generally most nights, and I do see when they have, like, they'll have the cook-off, they have the glide-off, which is just basically most guys will just walk to the bar and order a drink, and chicks judge it.
And the women are what?
The women are judging our walk, which we call the glide-off.
All right, a glide-off.
Yeah, that, I'm sorry to say, Mr. Norton, this is Bud Dickman.
Yeah.
You ever heard of, I think it's on Ford, you ever heard of Astroglide? Yeah, see?
Yeah, that's a good point about Astroglide.
Oh, would you ask them to clean it up?
You guys shut up.
Yeah, you know something, man? Don't even go there, man, okay? That's got nothing. I glide. My walk is like, I glide, okay? You talk about Astroglide, okay? If I have Astroglide, and only if I have Astroglide, I have the Astroglide, and I, you know, how much do you want me to say, Mr. Henry?
I don't want you guys to talk about this at all. That's how much I want you to say. Get off of this topic, okay?
He talked about glide.
You're the guy that brought up Astroglide. I don't want to hear about it, okay? Go ahead, Chris.
Anyway, Mr. Henry, as I was saying, we have a glide-off. We have a swing competition. A lot of times I'm a DJ for it, you know, because I do have a mobile DJ service called Norton Splode.
Your DJ mobile service is what, Norton Splodes?
Norton Splodes.
Norton Splodes.
Well, no, it's Norton Splodes.
Norton Explodes.
Well, that's not what I'm hearing.
Yeah, you're not saying that.
I am. Say Norton Splodes.
All right, Norton Explodes. And have you ever encountered, or in your own life, have you ever been sort of that crazy, way out, danger, you know, risk-taking guy?
I mean, I'm just naturally a risk taker. I will drive fast. I like to just, you know, go for it. If I go out on a date, which I really don't go out on a date, I just, you know, pick a woman up. I will drive by and I keep the car rolling. I do ask her to jump in, but that's not to be rude. But I'm always go, go, go. So when I drive by, I do ask them to be out on a curb. I leave the door open, and I go, hurry, and I'm doing about 5 miles an hour. And
so you never slow down, and...
And you treat these women as if they're just things.
No, I don't. No, ma'am. No, I don't.
Well, you're asking them to jump in to a moving car. You don't even stop. You don't go to the door. My God, if I were going out with you...
Well, you know, thank God for small favors.
You know something, Sonny Boy? In my day... I'd have burned you to the ground. That's right. Burned you down.
Well, I mean, you know, all I'm saying is...
You and your Astroglide.
See, that's not fair, Mr. Henry, saying that I use Astroglide.
Well, you brought up Glide, so... So Chris Norton is in the Rusty Pelican Glide-Off every...
Every Thursday night, and that starts at 10.
Every Thursday night at 10, the glide-off, and you're also the DJ that night.
Yeah, I'm also the DJ, so come on in and request a song. But then I'm in a glide-off, too.
Phil Henry.
What, you got to bring your own glide?
Shut up.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Hello, welcome back here, new hour of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and online at philhendryshow.com. If your mobile phone is active tonight, you might try a little, you know, might try to give us a look on your mobile, because we are now, the Phil Hendry Show is now mobile, baby. So you can see us on your mobile device, whether it's an Android, iPhone, what have you. You can also check us out on, of course, your iPad. You can see us on your desktop. Just about anywhere, man. We've got 6 different streams cranking, and it was quite an interesting procedure. It was quite an interesting little journey that we took.
And you almost lost your mind.
Well, yeah, you know, and I gave the guys hell. But again, I want to, on the air, give credit to Paul Guest. I want to give credit to Alex Cohen. I want to give credit to John Brennan. I want to give credit to Roddy Swearingen. I want to give credit to... Darren McAfee. I want to give credit to Aaron Parker. I want to give credit to me. I want to give credit to you. I want to give credit. I'd like some credit at Ted's of Beverly Hills, but I guess that... that's right. I guess we won't get that. Anyway, a lot of people made it happen. Thank you, and thanks for the Academy Award or what have you. Now, what is this, man? The second season of TNT's Dallas, do-over has arrived, and much like the upcoming final season of Breaking Bad, it's sparking mixed emotions. On the one hand, quote, we can't wait to see J.R. Ewing and Walter White, two primetime TV icons, doing what they do best, which is, of course, be bad. At the same time, their return spell the beginning of the end for both men who are about to get their long time coming come up and sizzes. We still don't have much of a clue what will become of Walt, though everyone involved with Breaking Bad has assured us throughout the series run that it won't end happily for him. It can't. It can't end happily for him. It would be an absolute, it would, they'd pass a law if it ended happily for a guy that is involved in the drug trade, the manufacture, the production of, and the sale of. So that much is for sure. Now, as for old J.R. Ewing, quote, we may not know the specifics yet, but we know that he'll ride off into that big oil rig in the sky midway through this second season, and just the thought of it is enough to make this lifelong Dallas and Larry Hagman fan sniffle. Now, wait a minute. Larry Hagman did in real life die, and that's why that writer is sniffling. But the fact is, both J.R. Ewing and Walter White, both of them are scumbags. They both deserve, the characters deserve to die.
Well, now I've heard everything. You have just... And who keeps you in check, Phil?
Keeps me in check for what?
Larry Hagman was one classy man, a wonderful man, a sweet man, and he deserves to die.
I wasn't talking about Larry Hagman.
Wasn't talking about Larry Hagman, talking about the character.
You were talking about Larry Hagman's character, weren't you?
Yes, I was talking about J.R. Ewing. That character deserves to die.
Well, no. You mean Larry Hagman.
No, I do not, Margaret. Why the hell would you say something like that?
Well, why are you bringing up J.R. Ewing anyway?
Because it happens to be a story. The Dallas season 2 premiere, you know, they're giving us a review on this baby. Huh? Huh? Just like Walter White is going to croak, J.R. Ewing's going to croak. And it's ironic in the case of I suppose... Larry Hagman playing that character and the great career he had. What a terrible thing to say that he deserves it.
You said that.
No, I didn't. I didn't say that about Larry Hagman at all. I said about the character. The character.
You're very, very slippery, Phil. You know, one of these days.
One of these days. Excuse me. Sorry.
What's that supposed to mean?
That's a sneeze.
Yeah, but what is it supposed to mean?
Doesn't mean nothing, but...
Hold on, you shut up. You sneezed, and I felt some of the spray. What does that mean?
Oh, come on, Margaret.
Well...
It is cold and flu season, Mr. Henry.
When you sneeze, do you mind terribly if you cover your mouth and nose because the spray hit me full in the face?
No, it did not. I'm sitting here covering my mouth.
No, you didn't. You sneezed, and about... There was a beat of about 3, Bud, would you say?
I don't know. I did feel some residual spray.
Boy, you guys, you know, I apologize. Do you have to make it this public?
No, there were you sneezed and 1, 2, 3, full in the face.
Yeah, that's what I mean about faceful.
No, that's not what you meant about face. Would you have him stop doing that?
Look, Margaret, I'm not going to keep policing this guy for you if you're going to turn around and pay me back by knifing me in the back.
How it? Oh, my God, are you paranoid? How did I knife you in the back?
That I sneeze, and then you get a face full, you know, 1, 2, 3.
I'm just saying you timed it.
I've never in my life learned how to time that.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah, thank you.
It's not like you're the one that's wasting time.
No, I wouldn't know how to time that. I wouldn't know how to sneeze. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, you know what, I'm going to...
Go to the bathroom?
No.
Have a cigarette?
No.
Look for a tampon?
How dare you?
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right, so, you know, the best of luck to all of you cats there on Dallas. But hey, you know what? Some, you know, all of the greats, sooner or later, out they go. Check this out. A lawsuit of a Southern California Christian school against two former teachers who refused to provide proof of their faith could pose one of the first court tests of a U.S. Supreme Court ruling on religious freedom. A legal expert said last year's ruling that religious workers can't sue for job discrimination never specified whether that includes teachers at religious schools. The court refused to specify in that ruling what constituted a religious worker, leaving teachers uncertain of their status under the law. Oh, I know this place, man.
Where is it?
Calvary Chapel in Thousand Oaks. I know this school, this church is what, like right next door to where my kids went to high school. Calvary Chapel of Thousand Oaks purchased Little Oaks School in 2009. Leaders told employees last year that they would need to provide a statement of faith and a reference from a pastor to renew their contracts. The two teachers lost their jobs after refusing to provide the documents. After they threatened litigation, school leaders filed their own lawsuit in federal court. Aha!
So that, what's that called? Like preemptive?
That's a, where'd you get a word like that?
I read about words, man. You don't.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a preemptive lawsuit. They most likely were anticipating that the teachers would sue them for job discrimination, and they turned around and sued them for, I don't know what they were suing them for, but they're suing them for suing them, you know.
I'm back.
You got the tampon?
Do you have to make that announcement?
Just.
I'd like to weigh in on this. Number one, my feeling is this. Oh, forget it. I'm still looking for one.
You know, Margaret, if you're going to come in here, sit down.
Never mind.
I don't know, bud, but I think the school...
I know what I wanted to say.
Yes?
Well, if you're going to be that way about it...
You come on, either sit down or leave.
Don't yell at me like I'm... Don't yell at me like I'm him.
She pointed at you, bud.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so that's that story. That'll be really groovy. Here's one that's like really messed up, sad, tragic, and completely, it's just wrecked. Police found a doctor dead from multiple gunshot wounds Monday in an examination room of a Southern California medical office and took a suspect into custody in the same room. Police received reports at 2:45 in the afternoon of 6 or 7 shots fired at the medical office near Hogue Hospital in Orange County, Newport Beach. According to Newport Beach police, officers responding found a man dead from multiple gunshot wounds to the upper torso in a patient examination room on the building's second floor. They took into custody another man in the room. The victim was a doctor, deputy chief. This is not the victim, by the way. This was the deputy chief of the medical examiner's office, David McGill, talking to the LA Times. I just, you know, don't want any member of his family getting freaked out. The victim was a doctor, according to this deputy chief. The doctor's name and relationship to the gunman weren't immediately clear.
What do you think happened? Like, was he an abortion doctor?
No, he wasn't an abortion doctor. It says here that he was a urologist. Witnesses told several media outlets the doctor was a urologist, and the floor of the shooting includes the offices for Orange Coast Urology, which lists 3 doctors on its staff. An outgoing message at the clinic said the office was closed. Becky Calderwood said she works 2 doors down from the officer where the shooting took from the office where the shooting took place, and said the gunman was a patient. I sit right at the front desk. I would have caught the first bullet. Why is that?
Well, I don't know. She probably.
Why would she say I sit right at the front desk? She said she works 2 doors down from the officer where the shooting took place. And the gunman was a patient. No one else was injured or targeted, Lowe said. It does appear to be an isolated incident. Detectives were interviewing employees.
Wait just a minute. Isn't that where you went to jail?
Why would you bring something like that up?
Because it's newsworthy. Weren't you in jail down there?
Well, what, Mr. Andrew?
What do you got to talk about that for 40 years ago? 40 plus years ago? Bringing something like that up.
I think your audience has the right... The public has a right to know.
Oh, the public has a right to know.
Don't be sarcastic, Phil. That's a big yes, everybody.
Excuse me. I was a kid, okay? I went into the Newport Beach jail for a night because we were drinking. And it wasn't because I was drunk. It was because I was underage and I had beer, and that's it.
Yeah, but you went to jail. That must mean it was very serious.
They don't even have... You know that I... What, you know something? I think that's really rotten, Margaret. I had to find out what you've been arrested for.
You know something? That's none of your business.
Oh, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. If I find out what you've been arrested for, will it be my business then?
No, it will not be. And I'd like to remind you I have a lawyer for a husband.
I don't care. Doesn't matter to me.
Oh, baby, you really want $300 worth. All right, get him on the phone.
Oh, come on, Mickey.
Get my husband on the phone.
All right, yeah, get Frank on the phone. I'd love to hear what he's going to... What are you going to talk him into doing now? Do we have to break, Dan? I think we do, right? Okay, let's take a break. You get him on the line.
What is this? What am I going to talk him into doing? He's his own man.
All right, get Frank on the line. I can't wait for this. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. You want to bring up me?
Truth
I'll bring up you.
He's our
you
bitch.
Don't even know what you're bringing up.
The Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, where we are mobile tonight for the first time on your iPhone, your iPad. No matter what your mobile device, you can see us live streaming our Phil TV in HD. I don't know if it's like HD on your mobile phone or not. Is that technically?
Yeah, I think so. I think it looks cool like it is.
You can't call it HD unless it technically is. That's my understanding, at least.
All right, look, we have on the phone here Frank Gray, Margaret's husband. He's also an entertainment attorney. And, Frank, how you doing tonight?
Hey, young man, I'm better than Custer. How you doing?
Good, good. And, Frank, Margaret's here. Margaret, would you like to...
Yeah, Frank, Phil wanted to ask me, have I ever been arrested? And I told him that he has a lot of guts asking a question like that.
I'll say.
Yeah, and I said to him, boy, you really want $300 worth, don't you? And he just grinned like that Scorpio did in that movie, or like perhaps Brad Pitt did in Californication, or any number of serial murderer films, you know, Dexter and so forth.
So what's the point here?
I beg your pardon, Frank. The point is that no way does he find... He's my life is my business.
All right. She wants to know whether or not you've been arrested. I don't think that's something, Margaret, that you have to be ashamed of. You and I have chuckled over it.
I'd rather that you not.
Well, it's a matter of public record, dear, and if she wants to know, what am I going to...
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm saying to you as your wife, I don't want you to say anything, Frank.
I have no choice, Margaret. If she's asking if you've ever been arrested, and it's part of public record, then I have to tell her.
You know something, Frank? Go ahead. I don't ask me if I care.
All right. Well, what do you want to know, Phil?
I want to know, has Margaret ever been arrested for something?
Yes, he was arrested for, he was arrested when he was dancing. That was in West Hollywood. Right after he came out here. And he got arrested along with the, I guess, it was a crew of about seven or eight other dancers at the La-Di-Da in West Hollywood.
The La-Di-Da was a very classy dance place. We were encouraged to... Can I just say this, Phil?
Go ahead.
We were encouraged to interact with the clients, and in comes this L.A. County Sheriff who thinks he's a real big wind. And what was that sheriff's name, Frank?
I don't remember what her name was, but she thought she was the reincarnation of that Walking Tall. What was her name in the Walking Tall? You remember it, Phil?
No, I don't.
Bo Svensson was her name. She was the actor, and same thing with this. But Margaret got arrested for, I'm going to have to say it, honey, he got arrested for lewd and lascivious behavior. Apparently, he pulled the G-string.
Frank, I'll do it. Thank you very much. I was there with a client who was a very good and wonderful client. He and I had business interactions. His name was Bob Weringer. And Bob and I transacted business. I don't know.
Well, yeah, Bob and you transacted business, and on her end, it was, I think, it was a $50 bill, and on your end, it was a G-string that went well below mid-thigh. I mean, let's be honest. And
why do you have to say this?
Because, Margaret, you were there talking about me going to jail. So you yanked your G-string down mid-thigh.
So you yanked your G-string down mid-thigh.
Well, look, Margaret, you did. And this guy Wehringer, the reason why the two of you and the reason why the club got raided is when you pulled the G-string all the way down. You might as well have just pulled your pants off for all the good that it was. And she let out a yelp of delight, and that alerted the what happened, Frank? He didn't. Phil? Am I Frank?
And yeah, you're Frank.
What happened, Phil, was that he didn't know that she was an undercover cop, and
I didn't know that this guy Wehringer.
Yeah, Wehringer was an undercover cop, and she had been, and she'd been coming in regularly for 3 months. Slipping these 20s into his you-know-what, and he's all excited.
Were you guys dating at the time?
I didn't think we were dating at the time, and then he told me, yes, we were.
Well, Frank, you and I had just started dating.
Meanwhile, you are taking 20s and hiding them up you-know-where, right?
Oh, my God, I can't believe...
Well, isn't that what was the case? And then another thing, Phil...
All right, we've heard enough. Thank you very much, Frank Ray. Thank you.
Wait a minute.
Margaret, don't reach over and hang up the phone.
That's exactly what I did.
Well, now we know.
Yeah, now we know all about it and everything.
Oh, big...
You said you didn't care. So you got popped for lewd and lascivious as a dancer, huh?
Don't scrunch your face up like you're smelling something rank. My God, haven't you... I thought you said you...
Margaret, you know, if you keep bringing stuff out of my life, you know, that's the last time I'm going to tell you anything.
You dated a girl. Well, you told me that you dated a girl in a pink, you know.
A girl in a what?
You said you dated a girl that had worked in a peep show.
I think she said peep show.
Oh, really? Is that what she said? Thank you very much, bud.
See, I'm trying to protect you, Phil.
No, you're not protecting me. You're not protecting me at all. Going, everybody's going to be listening extra hard. You still don't get it.
Yeah, I'm just glad they'll turn up the radio and hear everything.
Oh, that's a lot. That's an old wives' tale.
Old wives' tale? Turning the radio up? And your husband, Frank, by the way, had no problem at all telling us all about it. Yanked your G-string down.
Well, you went out with a girl.
Yeah, in a peep show.
Yes, how'd you meet her?
Yeah, but when'd you meet her? You needed change for the dollar? Ow!
Yeah, yeah.
That hurt.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, baby. Okay, so are we even here, you know?
Phil, that was very cruel of you.
No, it was cruel of you. I'm reading a story about Newport Beach. Next thing I know, I got you saying, isn't it where you went to jail?
Well, you did.
All right, fine. Well, guess what? You got busted for lewd and lascivious behavior. What was the name of this club?
It was the La-Di-Da. You never been there?
No, I've never been to the La-Di-Da. Does it exist?
Yes, it existed. The La-Di-Da, well...
The La-Di-Da? Sounds like a... I don't know.
Sounds like a what? Oh, get a load of you. Yes, they did have seat covers. Thank you. God.
I didn't say anything. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry show. Yeah, Frank?
All right. Yeah, he's upset because, they didn't have...
Phil Hendry.
Well, this is a club. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here and philhendryshow.com. On Phil TV and HD right now, we're showing a picture of the booby trap in Orlando. The reason why I'm showing this is because this was a legendary strip joint when I started in radio back in the early 70s in Orlando, Florida. That's where I started my radio career. And
I thought you said you come from California.
I do come from California.
Back in travel, man.
I come from California. I started my radio career in Florida. What is with you, anyway?
Oh.
Anyway, I was down there. I was working construction. I got into radio. So the reason why I'm showing this, Margaret, is not to anything, but, you know, I remember when this place was raided. This place was raided, and the dancers, and I don't know, the booby trap in Orlando, you can see how it's...
I think that's vulgar. Both of the buildings are shaped just like a woman's...
Never mind.
Well, they are.
All right. But this joint got raided, and the funny story about this is a buddy of mine was watching TV one night in Orlando, and he saw, you know, on the news, well, the booby trap raided or something like that, and he saw this line of strippers being led into a paddy wagon, and in that group, he saw his ex-wife.
And why is that funny?
It just is. I mean, are you kidding?
Pretty funny.
I don't get it.
Well, you know what, Margaret? Just take my word for this as a man. It was pretty funny. But nonetheless, it was a drag. You know, I don't know.
Well, did he bail her out?
I don't know. No, I don't think he did. It'd been years, you know. I mean, what is he going to do? There she is on TV, for crying out loud. So you're lucky that didn't happen to you. Oh, wait, it did.
Yes, it did. All of us. We got seven dancers. We got run in that night. And this guy, Swearinger, oh, man. I said to him, I'd like all of my money back.
Wait a minute. What do you mean all your money back?
I wanted my money back.
What do you mean you wanted your money back?
Because I paid him. First of all.
Did you have to pay guys to ask you to dance for them?
Yes. At the very beginning. Most girls do.
What?
Get you out of your mind.
No, I'm not out of my mind. You're unaware of that.
No, I'm not aware of that.
Well, I'm sorry. You must not be the kind of guy that a woman would ask to pay her or for her to pay you, so you pay...
Are you trying to tell me...
Well, just let it go. Since you're not one of the guys, I don't want to embarrass you.
Wait. Hold on. I don't care. I could care less. You're telling me that you paid this guy Wehringer to pay you...
Yes, so you don't get a reputation as a real dog. You have to get them to pay you, or you pay them to get them to pay you. And so I wanted my money back because there was a dip, you know.
So you paid him, but what he paid you back wasn't as much?
No, I paid him like $50, so he'd ask me to dance, and he'd only give me 20. And I kept saying to him, Wehringer, you are one dirty, filthy... No, we never did square it. What are you looking at?
Margaret, that's the most asinine story I've ever heard in my life. I'm having a very difficult time believing that. A very difficult time.
Why would I make it up?
That's a good point. Why would you make it up?
I guess it's true, then.
You paid him $50, so he'd pay you 20.
I didn't work it out that way. You can get Frank back on the line. He knows more about it.
Why would he know more about it?
Because he was my manager, okay? There, I said it.
This is getting better all the time.
No, it's not.
Get him back on the phone.
Hey, Mr. Gray? Mr. Gray? Mr. Gray? Gray. Is this Mr. Gray?
What is with you, bud? Call a guy up.
I got the wrong number. Hold on.
Gray, G-R-E-Y, bud.
Hey, hold on. I got it. Hi, how you doing? Yeah, all right. Hey, look, yeah, that's great. Look, I wanted to, what? No, I don't have any coupons.
What do you mean coupons?
It's a barbecue place.
Will you get the phone number of the man? Why would he be at a barbecue place?
Well, that's a good point.
Don't you have our number?
That's a good point.
Well, you're nuts. Yeah, Mr. Gray? Hi, Bud Dickman, and Phil wants, yeah.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, how you doing, young man?
Good. Margaret's now saying that...
I'll do it. Thank you very much. Frank, hi, honey.
Ah, Margaret.
Listen, you remember when I was dancing at the La-Di-Da and Wehringer would pay me? I would pay Wehringer?
No. You paid Wehringer, so Wehringer would pay you. And as I recall, you took it right straight up the old dirt road on that deal. I gotta tell
you. Would you please watch your language?
Nobody knows. Well, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yes, I do. But my question was, remember you were managing me then?
Yeah, we had an arrangement at that time, Phil, that I would manage him, and he would. It wasn't prostitution. It was strictly on the up and up. It was for dancing, and I wanted to see him. I wanted to see him hit the heights as one of the great strippers. Because I'll tell you something, and I don't think I'm talking out of school, Margaret. Phil, you never saw Margaret dance, did you?
No, I didn't.
I'm telling you, if you see him nude, you've never. It's fantastic. I mean, he is gorgeous, and he's got big boobs. So, when he was younger, okay, now, of course, things are beginning to go, and...
All right, Frank, thank you very much, but the point is what? The point, what was I asking him for?
The fact that he was your manager.
Yes, you managed me, and didn't I have a high-paying dance job?
Yeah, it was the batch, no, it wasn't, it was a fraternity party.
No,
a fraternity party?
Yeah, that's the highest-paying job you got.
No, I didn't. I thought I did. Didn't I dance in that review off the strip in Vegas?
No, the biggest job that I was able to book for you was the fraternity house at USC. I'm sorry, honey. It just... And the guys called up and they said, who do you... I said, I got one here. I said, he is gorgeous. And they said, who? I said, the dancer. And they said, well, we'll roll the dice if you say there's a dude. I didn't know. And,
Wait. You were talking to these guys.
Frank talked to them with the gender confusion, yeah.
Yeah, they were the stupidest bunch of guys. I said, look, I got a dancer right now. He's got a great ass. And they said, who does? I said, he does. And they called me some foul, vulgar names, but they said, well, we'll bite. And I think Margaret made that night about $300. Plus tips, I think it came to about $450.
Okay, Frank, you can hang up now.
Well, wait a minute, I'm just getting warmed up. Then another time.
Embarrassing, isn't it?
No, it's not embarrassing. Frank is deranged. He has dementia from syphilis, as you can tell. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a blithering imbecile. And for you to take anything he says as Bible or gospel or however it's said... You must be a gibbering, blithering moron yourself. Not just a moron, but a gibbering, blithering, salivating one.
In other words, I'm a moron if I believe Frank.
Yes.
Well, you admitted that, yes, you were arrested. You admitted and said that Frank was your manager. You guys paid some cop so the cop would pay you, and you finally get arrested by him. So it sounds to me like it was a real disastrous career.
It was not a... Frank is a gibbering lunatic when he says the biggest gig I got was a frat house at USC. He's lying. And that's what those that are afflicted by this advanced dementia, that's what they do. They lie, they cheat, they steal.
Mark?
Never mind.
Well, all right. I mean, look, I'm not knocking it because Frank was saying you were really gorgeous as a young woman.
Let me tell you something. Well, I'd take my bra off, right?
No.
No, I would if it weren't for that drooling idiot looking at me.
All right, well, here's the thing.
Yes, what is the thing, Phil?
What's the thing?
The thing is this. My right hand goes through your head. How's that, bud? You like that?
No.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was going to be the thing. What I'm trying to say is that the story was... pretty much validated by Frank, and I'm sorry that you got popped, but that's what you get for bringing up my past and where I might have or might not have been arrested myself.
All right, but still, weren't you arrested in Newport Beach?
I'm not going to say. It's none of your business. I'm not talking about anything like that, and thank you very much.
Okay, that's a big yes.
Now, yeah, that's a yes.
Yep. No, it's not a yes. It's means we're moving on. Thank you very much for your attention. All right, folks, coming back here, the final quarter hour of our show, Chris Brown compares himself to guess who? Huh? I bet you it doesn't take a stretch. Who does he think he is? Or who does he think he's like? Take, three guesses. The first two don't count. We'll be back with that story and more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Woo! Truth. Is our bitch, the Phil Hendry Show.
Now, wait a minute. That's my wife you're talking about. He's lovely.
Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Right now we're in our loft set. You can see that.
That's lovely. I like the loft set.
The loft set there with the city behind us, and our we also have our DDR behind us, and that is a film made by Amanda Green of Miami. That's Miami. So we have L.A. behind this DDR of Miami, as you can see. Very gorgeous.
Yeah, play that with a Miami Vice theme.
You already did, man.
Yeah, it's a great idea, bud. All right. Chris Brown compares himself to Jesus Christ, and why not? Yes, following his brawl with Frank Ocean, I don't know if you heard about it, but Chris Brown, he's had a couple of fights now, man. He had one with Drake. Didn't he have one with Drake? Somebody had one with Drake, and he has, and now one with Frank Ocean. Chris Brown posted a photo on Instagram with the caption, "Painting the way I feel today, focus on what matters." Police say Brown is being investigated for an alleged assault after a fight involving six men erupted over a parking space outside an L.A. recording studio. The L.A. County Sheriff's Department says the altercation allegedly led to Chris Brown punching the victim. Ocean reportedly wants to press charges.
What was the picture?
I don't know, but apparently he crap-canned his Instagram account. And if he did, Chris Brown is now one of my heroes because, frankly, you know, Instagram, I'm getting tired of it.
That is, why are you saying, that is sacrilege. You've got a lot of followers on Instagram.
Yeah, you do, Mr. Henry.
I'm very grateful for the followers I have on Instagram, but I'm telling you, I don't know why there is such a thing as Instagram. Most of the pictures, you know, a lot of them are great. A lot of them suck beyond words, including mine. I don't even know why I'm on the damn thing.
Well, then what do you mean yours suck? What, you're taking pictures, right?
Yeah, I take pictures and I put them on Instagram and I go back and I look at them and they blow.
Well, I'll hand you this, man. You're the first guy I've ever heard say that.
Yeah, most people think that their pictures is like, you know, belong in a museum or something.
Well, whatever, bud.
What do you mean in a museum, bud?
Everybody thinks their pictures is good.
Well, they may, but my pictures stink, you know. I put up pictures that I figure people will be interested in. I don't know how to take pictures. I mean, I know how to take pictures, but I'm not going to take pictures that are going to get 85 gazillion likes. The only pictures I know to put up are the ones I figure people like. So if I got a picture of myself with a celebrity, you know, if I got a picture of myself with, like, I had that one of Rebecca Romijn and me, and I got one of, of Judd Apatow and Albert Brooks, those pictures.
Well, the one of Albert Brooks was so bad, you didn't even post it.
Well, it was dark. But the point that I'm trying to make is that those are the only ones people are going to like. So I try to put those up there, but they suck. You know, I mean, all the other pictures I do suck that I take. So, Instagram.
What about, like, I see people take pictures of birds and stuff.
Yeah, what about, like, a flower and a mountain and everything?
And the sunsets.
Oh, goody gumdrops. I mean, the sunsets, like, there's a million pictures of sunsets, and they're fine. And there's a million pictures of birds and mountains, and there's great pictures of... You know, the one thing on Instagram, and I do want to say this, and because, guys, I don't know what I'm talking about. You keep taking your pictures. I love them. I think they're great.
In other words, you're lying because you just said they suck.
No. I'm saying, to me, I don't get it. But what I'm trying to say is this. Don't ever take pictures of food because it looks like throw up.
Now, I got that one.
That's true.
Yeah. If you take a picture of food and you put it on Instagram, it looks disgusting and vile. There's only a couple of shots. Like Johnny Bean puts pictures up there of In-N-Out Burger. That looks fantastic. You know why?
Why?
Because it's still in the wrapper. So there it is. There's the burger. But the people will put up pictures. Look what I had for breakfast. And you'd swear to God it just sailed out of a bum's mouth on Skid Row.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
God, that sounds... Oh, my God.
Well, what is it? Blood and beef bourguignon? Oh.
Well, what is... I mean...
That was vile, Phil.
I'm telling you, people will put up a picture, breakfast, you know. Like, I'm supposed to think it looks good? Maybe it did on the plate. I have no doubt. It probably tasted fantastic. But once you take a picture of it, and then they make the biggest mistake of all. They put it through those filters. There's like five or six different filters that Instagram has. Take a picture. I'm going to tell you this right now. Take a picture of, let's say, a Mexican scramble, like Chris Norton used to talk about, okay?
Yeah, Mexican scramble.
Exactly. Take a picture of that, then put it through one of Instagram's filters, and then go ahead and put it on Instagram, and it'll look like it came out of a cat's ass right onto the pavement.
Oh, my God. I
can't believe you did that, Mr. Henry.
God.
Well.
Mr. Henry, that's bad.
Well, I'm telling you. Go ahead. Go to Instagram and look at the food pictures. You can't take pictures of food and put them on Instagram. If you do, you'll put people off of their meals. I'm telling you, I only say that. And it doesn't. Now, you know who else takes pictures of food that looks good? I don't know what it is. Johnny Bean and his wife, Ruth. Both of you guys, every time you take pictures of food, it looks fantastic. Ruth will cook.
Now, that's Johnny Bean's wife.
Yes. And she will cook, like, lentil soups and all. And then she takes a picture of the. It's on the table, and it has the beautiful candles and the thing and the that, right? And it looks really good, man, you know. And I don't know. She'll make this kind of, you know, food. But, see, she sets the shot up nice. Some people will just order up, like, a bean burrito and eat half of it and then let it kind of just sit on the plate. And they'll go, God, that is really good. I'm going to take a picture of it and let everybody know what I'm having for lunch. And they take a picture of it, and you don't know whether it's something that's supposed to go in or it just came out.
Wow! Wow!
Man, I was going to have a snack after we got off the air. Forget it.
That was absolutely... What do you mean it looks like it just came out?
Well, I'm telling you. You know, go ahead. Go look at Instagram.
No, I don't think I will now.
I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to take pictures of food, you got to do it like Johnny's wife, Ruth, does. She sets it up so it's like a meal, you know, like there's the stew and there's the soup and there's the candles and there's the napkins and the whole thing looks really nice, you know, because I didn't want people to think not every picture of food looks terrible. It's the way you got to do it.
What's the way you can't do it? Take an aerial shot, you know.
What do you mean, the aerial shot?
You never, ever, never, not never, ever take an aerial shot of the food on a plate.
An aerial shot?
Yeah.
What do you mean aerial shot, man?
I mean up in the air, right over it.
Oh, yeah, when it's on the plate and you're standing over it, you mean?
Well, yeah, but it's kind of an aerial shot.
Not an aerial shot, man. Not taking it from an airplane.
Well, you could.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, sure. You could fly over a plate of food in an airplane. I mean... But the point is, you're saying straight down.
Yeah, don't ever take a picture of the food straight down because it'll look like it come out of a bum's, a bum's you know what.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh. I swear to God, I'm going to, when we get off the air, I'm going to retch for a half hour just to see if there's anything left.
Just to see if maybe your lunch from yesterday will come up?
Yes.
All right, well, that's the show, folks. Awfully sorry. I'm still hungry. I don't know about anybody else. When I get off the air, I always have a healthy meal. Still doing my 2,000 calories a day. And by the way, Alex gave me a good tip today, you guys. You can average this out. That's what he does. I didn't know that. Alex does 1,600 calories a day, and he lifts weights. He's a maniac. But he said you can average it out over the week. If you average it out over the week and it comes to 2,000 a day, you're doing great. Or whatever your goal is. So if you're like me and you're a maniac and you hold to the 2,000 every day no matter what, good luck. It's hard. It's really hard. And I was at 210. I'm back up to 220. So I got a long way to go, man, before I get back down to 200. But you know what? The summer is a long way off, baby. And by the time I get to summertime, it's going to look good. I'm going to look real good. Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. And it is... It's online at philhenryshow.com. We invite you to join us at philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass and watch us mobile, baby, on your iPhone or your Droid and your iPad. Until tonight at 10, this is Phil Henry along with Bud Dickman, Margaret Gray, and Robert Leonard saying, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.